Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is Romans 12, 9 through 21. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May God add a blessing to the reading of this word.
One of the things that I absolutely love about being a pastor is having opportunities to hear from folks who are struggling with questions of faith and struggles in their Christian life. I love it not because I have all the answers to the questions, but because of the trust and authenticity that comes when people are willing to risk being vulnerable with me and I with them, as I often acknowledge that their questions and struggles are not only theirs, but mine. And those questions and struggles come from a variety of people during all phases of life. For example, this week, I had conversations with an elderly person who is nearing the end of life and is in need of comfort. A couple of middle-aged folks in the hospital who were dealing with some pretty significant health issues. One of them back in church, which I'm delighted. Someone who is struggling with heartache and loss. Somebody who's anxious about the future in the midst of change. Still others with questions about the challenges we are facing as a congregation surrounding our ministries and our financial resources. And then later this week, one of our youth sent me the following text. "Hi, Pastor Susan. This is really random, but I was thinking today about how I struggle with confidence in myself while also being humble. I talked to my mom about it, and she said that I should tell you about it, so maybe if you have extra time, you could do a part of your sermon about that. Just a thought." Yes, I love, 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 love. I love that part of being a pastor. And sometimes, many times, I just have to take a deep breath to remind me that while I may not have all the answers, that God is present with love and with grace to show us the way to live in relationship as followers of Jesus. So as we prepare ourselves this morning to consider peace, peace not only with God and with ourselves, but peace with each other, will you join me in prayer? Loving and gracious God, author of goodness, author of peace, author of forgiveness and reconciliation, we give you our thanks today for the opportunity that you give to us to open ourselves more fully to you. Because we're talking about things today that we're dealing with, Lord, and we need you. And so I pray that during this time of reflection, that the words of my mouth and those meditations that come deep within ourselves might be in keeping with your will and your way, the way of peace. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who is our peace. Amen. All right, so in Romans chapter 12, where our scripture takes place, Paul is writing to the church, and not just the Roman church. He's writing to the church universal of that time, writing to all churches, and not any specific things that he's just talking to the Roman church about, but all of them, about how the Christian life shows up in specific types of behavior produced by what he calls a renewed mind. Verse 2 says this: do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And how do we develop this renewed mind that Paul is talking about? Well, I want to just say it's all about relationships. It is all about relationships. And as we have been reflecting on shalom over these past 3 weeks, we have learned that peace and wholeness in our lives begins by nourishing our relationship with God. Out of that relationship flow all the rest. So it has to start there. Through worship, where you gather together today, or whether you're doing that worship privately in home or however you're having it, in worship, in prayer, in meditation on scripture. And out of that relationship with God, you and I can nourish peace within ourselves as we get in touch with who we are and what is going on in our hearts, and maybe even wrestling with that as we hold fast to our faith in God. For only then, as you and I find peace with God and within ourselves, can we take the next step, the next crucial step, to truly build peace and wholeness through genuine love in our relationships with each other. Let love be genuine. Can you say that with me? Let love be genuine. Now, Paul uses two Greek words to describe love in these verses, in verses 9 and 10. In this one, in verse 9, let love be genuine, he uses the word agape, which we know is God's love. So let God's love, not just your love, let God's love be genuine, be authentic. Let that love of God that you've experienced in Christ be demonstrated in your life in ways that are genuine and authentic, not just a show that we might make on a Sunday morning saying that we're just doing great, life is good, you know, all of that. But we can be authentic and genuine, and the fruit of this is a life that has been nourished in relationship with God. That's what we want. But Paul doesn't leave it there. He says that love must become more specific, and in particular, it has to become practical, practiced. Beginning in verses 10 through 13, he shifts from using agape love, God's love, to using the philia type of love, which is the type of love that you would have with a close family member or friend. And this is what he says: love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Be set on fire by the Spirit. Be devoted to prayer. Contribute, literally meaning participate in the needs of the saints, and pursue hospitality. Now, to participate in others' needs is to give of oneself and one's own resources for their material needs, things like food, clothing, shelter. Bottom line, true love, genuine love, God's love, Paul says, is fervent, it is relentless, and it is practical. Practical. Yes, loving God's way is much more than a feeling that we might have. It is always, always, always action. And here's the thing. We're going to find out that living with this kind of love that Paul is describing here isn't for those with whom we share, necessarily those that we share faith with or who always agree with us. We just had our discipleship class, and we were talking about how disciples can disagree about lots of things because we believe people have the ability to reason out scripture for themselves. And so we may come at different places at different times. But it isn't just for our community, it's for those who don't always agree with us, who don't always act like us, who maybe even oppose us in some way. So look with me again at verse 14. Bless those, he says, who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Okay. How do we do that? How do we love our enemies? How do we bless those who persecute us? Again, Paul moves from feelings to actions. Verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Now, let me be clear here. If we were just reading this little portion of Romans chapter 12, we might think a little bit differently than I think of it, because what's in the context of chapter 12, Paul's not advocating here for vindication and vengeance. Instead, these words press us instead to live in the light of God's mercies. Our job is not to act as judge for anybody. But by treating our opponents like family rather than enemies, Paul says, it produces a power greater than our enmity for each other. In fact, it turns things over to God so that people might potentially see differently and ultimately come to repentance and reconciliation. This reflects what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. For God is able to change hearts as you and I take on the risk to live in the light of radical love. God wills that we live peaceably with each other. And while we can't make others live peaceably, Paul says to the church, so far as it depends on you and me, as followers of Jesus, we are to show God's love by seeking peace with very practical behaviors. Paul says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. This helps us to see that genuine love is not about being nice to people. Genuine love has a moral orientation towards God's good. So when we show love towards someone, we are moving them and ourselves toward God's goodness. And that brings me back to my conversations this week, and especially the text that I received regarding the struggle between confidence and being humble. Because in all transparency, I struggle with that too, in a big way. You see, confidence can be a very good thing. The things on which we stand and we say, this is who we are, this is what we stand for. That is something that we can be confident in. And holding fast to our faith and what we believe to be God's call on our lives will lead us into areas where we will take risks and stand up for justice on behalf of those who are struggling. And we're really, really strong in this area. I know I am, and I do stand confidently in that. And it's not just us. I mean, for almost 200 years, Florence Christian Church has been doing that very thing. It's part of the calling that God has placed on this church. But as Micah 6:8 reminds us, the requirements of God go beyond the confidence that we have and we demonstrate through our work with the least of these. We are also required not just to love the idea of kindness, but to practice God's loving kindness. To practice that. To engage in God's loving kindness that seeks to move relationships from division to community, from marginalizing to including, from hating to reconciliation. And here's the thing. Undergirding all of that, The foundation upon which we nourish this call to justice and loving kindness requires humility. Humility. Being humble. It means doing to others what we would have them do unto us. It means laying down our need to be right for our need to be reconciled. It's like what Thomas Merton said. We've been showing the slide every week. We are not at peace with others because we are not at peace with ourselves, and we're not at peace with ourselves because we are not at peace with God. But when we put God first in our lives and then we come to know ourselves, out of that relationship that we are building with God comes peace with each other. Bottom line is, peace begins and ends with God. I want to close this morning by going back to our story that we told last week about Esau and Jacob. Y'all remember that? Most of you were here for last week. Because we didn't get to what happened after Jacob has this all-night wrestling match with some mysterious man that left him with a limp, okay? But if you go to chapter 33, before we get to chapter 33, 32, Jacob has stationed his family, you remember, in front of him. He's back at the river, and he has this all-night thing because he's afraid. He's afraid of what's coming. But after he receives, he has that wrestling match, and he receives a new name. He receives his blessing. Jacob just goes to the front of the line. He goes to the front of the line. And I want you to think about how he has transformed from being afraid and fearful for his life to being confident and humble. The scripture says in chapter 33 that Esau ran out to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and the brothers wept. And then Esau says, "Who are all these people with you?" And Jacob says, the children whom God has graciously given your servant. And they go on to have this amazing time of forgiveness and reconciliation and peace. Confident and humble. Confident and humble. And oh, beloved of God, oh, that we would commit ourselves today to leave our conformity to the world for the transformation that God offers through the renewal of our minds and our hearts as we receive the gifts of God that bring peace to our relationships with God, with ourselves, and with each other. Let love be genuine as we hold fast to what is good. May we love one another with mutual affection, and may we outdo one another in showing honor. May we be on fire with the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope and being patient in suffering and persevering in prayer, so that you and I might have the confidence and the humility as we strive to be Jesus with skin on for each other, each and every day. Maybe so in your life, maybe so in my life, that we might experience God's shalom, God's peace that is with us to share with each other. And the people of God said, amen and amen.